Thanks very much, and thanks for coming to my talk on the last afternoon of the conference. The overall goal of the research in my lab is to understand the biochemistry of pheromone production in a model beetle species, Tenebrio molitor. So to understand not only how the pheromones biosynthesized and regulated, but to try and fit that into the context of the biology of the organism. Now, the pheromones involved in mediating T. molitor have been well studied over the past, 70 or 80 years, actually, but not many of them have been identified. There is a female-produced male attractant that was identified about 20 years ago as 4-methylnonanol, and that's the one I've mainly been working on. There's also a male-produced female attractant that was more recently identified as Z3-dodecinoacetate. Gary, don't look at this. I don't want you working on this beetle. And there's several other pheromones that have been identified through bioassay, a female-produced copulation-release pheromone, male-produced copulation-release pheromone, and a male-produced antiaphrodisiac. But these have not yet been identified. We've been working for a while. We've worked out the biosynthetic pathway for this pheromone. It is produced de novo, and the final step is the reduction of the fatty acyl-CoA derivative to the corresponding alcohol. We know that it's produced by mature females, but not by immature females or males. And again, it's this last reduction step that is regulated. There may be other steps regulated as well, but we know that the final step is regulated. Only mature females can perform this reduction. And we know that at least the final reduction step occurs in the ovaries. We've done some work on the regulation of this pheromone, and we know that mating causes a temporary decline in the 4-methylnonanol titer. Initially, after mating, the males will coat the female with an antiaphrodisiac, and that will wear off in about 30 minutes to an hour, and by then, the 4-methylnonanol titer starts to drop. And the decline is due to an inhibition of 4-methylnonanol biosynthesis. It's not due to an increase in the rate of degradation. The biosynthesis is inhibited. And again, it's inhibited at that final reduction step, catalyzed by 4-methylnonanol CoA reductase. So that's becoming quite an interesting enzyme to us. And we know that the mechanism of this inhibition of this enzyme that occurs after mating is that the male transfers a factor to the female during mating, and that factor can act directly on the site of pheromone biosynthesis to inhibit the enzyme. So we have quite a nice system to work on to study this problem. This graph just shows the type of inhibition that we see of this enzyme. If we assay the activity of the enzyme after mating, here's a virgin female. You can see that the activity of the enzyme drops 2 and 4 hours after mating. We can mimic this effect with instrumental insemination of the females with male reproductive tract homogenate. We're chemists, not biologists, so we can't quite get little parts out of the male, but we can take the whole reproductive tract, homogenize it, and inject that into the female. So here you see a female that's just a normally mated female. And the light blue bars show what happens if she's artificially injected with male reproductive tract homogenate. You see that same decrease. And perhaps most interestingly, we can see this if we do this in a test tube. If we just take homogenate of the female ovaries and add male reproductive tract homogenate, we can see that inhibition occurring right in the test tube. So that factor is acting right on the site of pheromone biosynthesis. Here it's shown what happens if we pre-incubate for 2 hours, but we can actually see this effect in as little as 10 minutes. So the objective that I want to talk about today is the studies that we've initiated to try and elucidate the biochemical mechanism by which pheromone biosynthesis is inhibited by this male factor after mating. So just a little bit of background here comparing what happens in beetles to other species. Because this hasn't really been studied in beetles before. Most of the work in beetles has been done on aggregation pheromones for obvious reasons. And so there isn't a whole lot of literature available to what happens to sex pheromone production. But in many moth species, PBAN is known to stimulate pheromone production through the production of second messengers, such as calcium and sometimes cyclic AMP. We don't actually know which hormone stimulates pheromone biosynthesis in this beetle. You could speculate that it's JH, and it could be, but we have no evidence to support that. So we don't have a lot of background there. And in many species where mating causes an inhibition of pheromone biosynthesis, it's usually through indirect effects, not a direct effect such as we see with our beetle. So this should be quite an interesting problem. So our approach is to use a radioassay to quantify 4-methylnonenal biosynthesis, and basically we just focus on that last step because that's a convenient bioassay that we have available to us, and then test the effect of various pharmacological agents designed to see what sort of second messenger systems might be involved. So we take the beetle, remove the ovaries, homogenize them, and incubate them in vitro with a radioactive precursor, all required cofactors, buffers, protease inhibitor, etc. Incubate, kill, extract, and then run the organic products through a column, and we can easily separate out the products. We see unreacted starting material, the pheromone, and an early eluting peak, which we think is a triacyl glyceride storage product of the pheromone precursor. Anyways, this is just showing what happens if we treat a virgin, homogenates of virgin beetles, the ovaries, with various factors. So here's the pheromone production by the untreated homogenate. If we pre-incubate with EGTA, which is a compound that binds calcium, removes calcium from the medium, we actually see a statistically significant increase in pheromone production. And this isn't what we expected based on the work in moths, where we expected calcium to stimulate pheromone production. Here we see pheromone production is stimulated by the removal of calcium. And if we add calcium, pheromone production is significantly inhibited. If we add calcium and ionomycin's a calcium carrier, can help get calcium through any membranes that are still intact. Our homogenates have about 30% intact cells in them. But you can see the inhibition. And if we add a 4-bol ester, basically a diacylglycerol analog, which can work with the inositol phosphate pathway to basically reinforce the action of calcium. Again, we see that inhibition. So it seems that in these homogenates of virgin beetles, high levels of intracellular calcium actually inhibit the biosynthesis of 4-methylnonenal. So we speculated that perhaps the male factor actually triggers high levels of intracellular calcium, and then that would cause the inhibition of our 4-methylnonenal reductase. So our model here would be that the male factor would bind to some sort of receptor in the cell membrane. We haven't characterized the male factor yet, but we know that it's not extractable with organic solvents, it's not lipophilic, and so it probably wouldn't be able to penetrate the membrane. It would have to act through a receptor. Activation of that receptor would eventually cause an increase in calcium, which would ultimately inhibit our enzyme. In fact, that was not the case. Here you see what happens with the virgin beetles again, the homogenate of virgin beetles. If you add EGTA, you get that stimulation. Here, if you add the male reproductive homogenate, tract homogenate, to the virgin beetle homogenate, you see the inhibition that we expect. If you add EGTA and remove the calcium, the male factor can still inhibit pheromone biosynthesis. It's an additive effect. It's inhibited by the EGTA, and it's even more inhibited by that male factor. So obviously that male factor is not requiring calcium to exert its effects. And we observe this, reinforce that principle when we try adding calcium and ionomycin. Again, the male factor is still able to work. The male factor still inhibits pheromone biosynthesis. The effect, again, appears to be a little bit additive. And again, the 4-bol ester is also, you still get inhibition there. So that's about as far as we've gotten. We know that high levels of intracellular calcium inhibit that 4-methylnonenal CoA reductase in virgin females. We know that mating causes an inhibition of that enzyme due to the transfer of the factor from the male to the female, and we know that it can act directly at the site of pheromone biosynthesis. We've basically ruled out the role of calcium as a second messenger in this process, and we're currently looking at other likely candidates. And in conclusion, I'd like to thank Rob Curry for help with this project, funding from NSERC and University of Winnipeg. Thanks very much.
Well, I think we should take questions because the fact that we're behind is no fault of yours. Any questions?
Do you know of any other examples where thermoblastosis occurs in the ovary?
No, I know of no examples. In fact, I didn't believe it myself.
Is there any physiological or is there any reason why the Vibrio is like this that you can think of?
Well, first of all, no other sex pheromone in coleoptera has really been identified, the cytolocation. So it's hard to say there's a general rule. It's easy to see then how mature females are able to do it and immature females and males are not. That's kind of a logical thing. But no, I was quite surprised. I expected it to be in the cuticle, the cells underlying the cuticle, because it's released to the cuticle. And I was surprised. I don't see why they do it there. It doesn't make any sense to me. But they didn't ask me before they designed the system. I wonder if the precursors made somewhere else and then transported to the ovaries. We're starting to look at that. It's difficult to study it from radioactive acetate de novo because they don't make much pheromone. There's a lot of fat there, and it's really hard to get good chromatography. But we're working on that. That would be the logical thing to do.